The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to involve me in your day. So it's, I guess they call these the dog days of summer. And, you know, right around the corner from the fair, the state fair. Of course, there's fairs happening now. All 99 counties in Iowa, I guess, have fairs. So it's kind of an exciting time, but I thought of it today. 3 months from now, it's essentially Halloween. I remember the first Halloween I moved to Iowa, it was 2016, and we went out, and my, at the time, well, she would have been eight, my eight-year-old was just, nope, it was so cold, it was certainly below freezing, it might have been in the teens, it was incredibly cold, but my six-year-old, boy, she was just, no, man, there's candy to be had. And she made me freeze my butt off. So hopefully we won't have that kind of a Thanksgiving, Halloween. But, you know, summer's not been too bad. A couple little hot times, but it really has not been overly hot this summer, at least my experience. It looks like it's going to heat up a little bit, but it's not August yet, so I get it. But yeah, I love this time of the year. I love it when it's not super hot, I should say. I like the long days and all that stuff, the bonfires in the yard and all that. So, yeah, just on to it. And last 4 weeks with my oldest daughter, and so that's just crazy to me. I mean, it's actually, I think she moves in August 14th, so even less than 4 weeks by the time you hear this. And, you know, I'm getting more pragmatic about it. The emotion is, but I'm certain that the drop off for college is going to be very emotionally challenging for dad and mom too. But it's coming. Life's coming at you, whether you're ready to embrace it or not. And so we are. We're embracing it. We're excited. We went down. You know, talked about. We went and looked at Mizzou. That's where she's going, Mizzou. And it's great, great, big, beautiful campus and pretty nice town. And she'll be close enough that she can get home in a few hours. So, but far enough away that we can't go down for lunch. If we go, you get, it's a full, you know, overnighter. It's not like having a kid in Ames or Iowa City where you can, from most parts of the state, get there in under 2 hours. But yeah, so it's that time. And I've been out in the, you know, taking care of yard work and all that stuff, just summertime stuff. And I'm, you know, working with them. I'm replacing my oldest daughter's friends. I'm trying to get my younger daughter's friends in the yard with me. The girls don't really want to work, but the boys do in the yard. And so I'm shifting to the next generation of students. So yeah, just time marching on. So last week I gave some details about the different types of robotic joint replacement platforms out there. And, you know, just to reiterate, the big differentiator is that the robotic arm for the Mako that we use has the actual tool on the end of the arm as opposed to just an alignment guide. And, you know, the data on it is tremendous. And of course, you know, the hospital spent over $1.5 million on it. And some of the other ones are, you know, as cheap as $200,000. So, you know, you get what you pay for. But I just wanted to kind of run through the process of a total knee both the robotic aspect of it and the non-robotic aspects of it. So the way I do it is 2 weeks before you'll get your CT scan, we upload that CT scan into the robot. On that date, I will do what's called an iovera procedure. And most insurances cover it. If the insurance doesn't cover it, it's a little bit expensive. I don't think it's a big, big pain reliever, but you got to judge how much it's worth to you, because if the insurance doesn't cover it, it's pretty expensive. But so we freeze the nerves on the front of the knee with liquid nitrogen. And what that does is that blocks the signal pathway through the nerve so that the pain that's being generated, you know, after the surgery, meaning the pain from the incision, the pain from cutting the bones, all those things are dampened significantly, so the patients don't really need a lot of pain medicine. And so that's that day. You come in that day, it's 2 weeks before, around 2 weeks before the surgery, and you get your CT scan and your iovera. Then the night before surgery, you don't eat. You take some Celebrex, which is an anti-inflammatory. Some of the things that you have to think about is you have to stop a lot of medications. You're stopping blood thinners, stopping any of the GLP-1 inhibitors, the Wegovy and Ozempic. The reason you stop those before surgery is because it slows your gastric emptying. So it slows it increases the amount of time that food is in your digestive system, and you don't want that. You don't have food sitting in your digestive system, certainly in your stomach, when you are having general anesthesia. And while we usually use spinal, not usually, we always use spinal, and sometimes we'll use general in addition. The reason that you would use general means you go to sleep with the tube into your lungs and all that. The reason we would do that is if someone had an airway that was particularly challenging looking, or if the spinal didn't give enough pain relief and the patient needed to go to sleep during the surgery. So we always had to be prepared to go to sleep. And if you go to sleep and you have stuff in your stomach or your upper gastrointestinal tract, that can be dangerous. You can aspirate, which means that you can vomit, and then that stuff goes from your throat down into your lungs, and it can cause pneumonia. It's very bad. So we don't want you to be taking the Wegovy. That's why you don't eat after midnight before surgery. You can take some pills on the morning of surgery, just with water, and we would tell you what to take and what not to take. Mostly, you know, there are certain blood pressure pills you do take, certain ones you don't take. It's you would be given all this information. On the day of surgery, there's a carbohydrate drink that you'll drink right before the surgery that has been shown to have a lot of beneficial functions with recovery and moderating your blood sugar during surgery and things like that. And then you would get, and this goes for hips and knees, you would get a spinal anesthesia, which is just kind of like what women get when they're delivering babies. And then you would hopefully not get general anesthesia, but you might. Then we move into the operating room. You get draped and prepped, and then we put the leg in a leg holder, or put your whole body. When Dr. Dirks is doing a hip, he puts the whole body in a side position. He has a leg holder for the hip replacements as well. So everything's very precision. There's nobody just kind of free-holding the legs or anything. They're all in positioners, whereas it used to be we used to literally tape sandbags to the bed, and the nurse would hold the knee in a flex position during most of the case. So the nurses like this too, because it makes their jobs physically a bit easier. So then the information that's been uploaded into the robot is visible to me on the screen during the procedure, and there's someone from the company who's running the robot on the computer side, and then I have the robot parked right next to the bed, and I'm moving the robot arm with essentially like a pistol grip and trigger. When I go to where I want it to go, it only allows me to cut exactly to the millimeter, to the degree, exactly what I planned on cutting. Before we make those cuts, though, what I'll do is I will take the knee through a range of motion, all the way into flexion, all the way into extension, which means putting straight and bending. And then I will put the knee in the position, the leg in the position I want it to be in after the surgery, and lock that in. And then we make the bone cuts to make that happen. This is a level of precision that's just not at all possible without the robot, and certainly less possible without the Mako on other robotic platforms. And so then once I've locked that in, then we make the incision. We'll take off the back of the kneecap to replace that with a plastic button, make the cuts using the robot, remove that bone, and then put in the implant, which is metal on the femur side, the thigh bone side, and metal on the shin bone, the tibia side, with the plastic in between. And then we would take that all through a range of motion and make sure that I'm happy with how the patella is tracking, how the, you know, the kneecap is tracking down the groove in the end of the femur that it runs in. And once all that looks to be exactly how I like it and everything feels good, and the range of motion is what I want, and the knee is stable in all the planes, then I'll wash it out with a couple of different antibacterial washes sequentially. Then I'll put a little powdered antibiotics into the joint. And that's, I think all these steps we take are one of the reasons we have a lower than the national average infection rate in our orthopedic department. And Dr. Dirks and I are very, very particular about everything. And the hospital has all of the things, you know, the sterile processing. They do joints all the time, so they know how to do it all properly. And we have what's called laminar flow in the operating room. We have positive pressure ventilation. We used to have laminar flow. Positive pressure ventilation means that everything is blowing out of the room. So there's no, like, circulating air circulating around. Because if you do that, then bacteria floating around can come into the incision. But this way, it's all going in one direction. So there's no real way. And I mean, bacteria are sneaky and they can get in every once in a while. But it just helps keep that rate lower. Then I'll close the incision up. And then you would go to your room. And within a few hours after the spinal wears off, whether you've had a knee or a hip, you will at least sit on the edge of the bed, probably stand and maybe walk. And the next morning, you're going home. Unless there's a big reason. Now, of course, the older the patient, the less likely they are to go home that next day. I keep everybody overnight on my knees because I just find that things show up. And the population I'm operating on at here in Carroll is a little bit older. You know, our average total knee is, there are some in the 50s, but the average is Medicare age, so 65 or higher. And so since that's the case, I just keep everybody. If somebody in their 50s and super healthy, or even in their 60s, and they say, oh, I'm super healthy, I want to go home, okay, I'll relent and let you go home the day of surgery. But I don't see any big reason to, and nobody... Very few people are like, no, I really want to go home. I mean, it happens, but, you know, most people don't mind being cared for 24 hours after a surgery like that. And so then you would go home. You usually would have a walker, which you'd use for a few days. I would say 10 or 15% of the patients or less come to the office with a walker at the seven-day follow-up. Seven-day follow-up, we would look at the incision. All the sutures I use are under the skin, so we just take off the tape and everything and the dressing and look at it. The type of dressing I'm using, you can take a shower with, so you don't have to put a bag around your legs, so that's kind of nice. Then we take it off, I put some new tapes on, and you're still able to shower, and then you're kind of, I don't want to say off to the races, but in some respects, you're should be walking pretty well. The more you walk, the better you do. By the six-week mark, see, it used to be that by the six-week mark, we were looking for 90 degrees of flexion in the knee, so bending the knee 90 degrees. So that would be, if you don't know what 90 degrees is, it's a right angle. It's, you know, the corner of a square. And now, I would say 95% of my patients are bending past 90 degrees before they leave the hospital. So that I attribute to the robot. The reason is there's one particular portion of the case that's called ligamentous balancing. So if you don't have the robot, then you're going to make the bone cuts based on what's called the mechanical axis of the knee. So a center line dropped from the middle of the ball of the hip to the middle of the ankle. You're going to align it towards that. But that's not how everybody sits. Naturally, different people have, some people are a little knock-kneed, some people are a little bow-legged, right? That's just, there's a variable. So giving everybody those same cuts, which is what you have to do if you don't have a robot at all, and which the Mako is the very best at compensating for that. So if you are making those mechanical cuts, then you have to loosen the ligaments on the tight side of the knee. And that's what caused a lot of the pain and a lot of the inability to bend the knee after the surgery. And so that's another one of the huge advantages. And that gets you up faster and moving faster, reduces your time in the hospital, reduces incidence of blood clots and that kind of stuff. So at the 6 week mark, you're bending well past 90 degrees. You're walking certainly without a cane or anything, unless there's something really wrong. I mean, 99.9% of my patients are not walking with a cane at 6 weeks, that's for sure. And then by 3 months is when we say, okay, now you should start getting an inkling of what this is going to be like at the end of the process. And now you can continue to improve both with respect to pain and with respect to how far you can bend the knee for up to a year. And I've even seen a year and a half. This time of year, if you've had a knee replaced within the last 3 months and your incision is all sealed up, I'm talking to anybody out there, if the incision is all sealed up and it's really a scar, I don't want you to do this early, but once it's safe to get in the pool, oh, pools are so good for knee rehabilitation, shoulders too. So I would highly recommend that this time of year, since most people would have access to a community pool, at least, you know, even the YMCA, community pool, whatever it is. So that's kind of a 1,000-foot view of the process of that and of the total knee here and a little bit of the hip. I touched on that a little bit, but again, I don't do hip replacements for arthritis. I only do partial replacements for fractures. It really is, it's just nice to be in a setting where, you know, the hospital is doing a lot of surgery. Dr. Dirks and I have done over 1,000 Mako joints between us. And, you know, we have a team in the operating room that knows exactly how to use it perfectly. We have a physical therapy team that is seeing, we do multiple joints every single week. And so that's what I like about St. Anthony's, is it's got a full program, a full joint replacement program like you would have at a big city hospital. And we have, you know, like I said, we have the Mako. And I don't know, I think you might be able to get it in Des Moines. There was one, and then there wasn't, and now I think there might be one or two, and I'm not sure if the surgeons are using it where they're available, or I'm not sure what the situation is with that. But if you were having a joint replaced at St. Anthony, you will be having a Mako, a hip or knee, because that's just what we do. So I just wanted to kind of give you kind of an overview of the process. I can go into more detail of the planning and more detail of the pain control, and there's you know, endless details that can be talked about. But just to give just a broad overview of how the process works and kind of what to expect, and you know, most of my patients, we give 20 oxycodones, and I would say only 10% of my patients request more. So you know, the Iovera does help a lot with the pain. And people tend to do very well and not really need a lot of the opioids. That's been a real push, obviously, over the last few years, is trying to reduce the amount of opioids that go out the hospital door. And also, people just do better. I mean, opioids drag you down. I mean, they're good for relieving pain, but they have other effects, obviously. So that's that. So I hope everybody is really enjoying. And if you have a just graduated senior, go give some hugs and enjoy these last few weeks before they go off to college. And if they're not going off to college, we'll enjoy them for a little longer. Hopefully, if they're not going off to college, they're getting a job. There's a lot of good jobs out there. There's a lot of good training out there. I told my girls that if they were interested at all, that the skilled labor is still a great way to go. And especially, you know, if you have an interest in it, there's a lot of great jobs out there with that. But as long as they're doing something productive, it's a win. So with that, I'll be back next week, and you just have a blessed weekend.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.